So, what do you get when you shake up 30 years and a gallon of vodka?
You get Trish.
Welcome to Gay Talk 2.0, the ultimate podcast for your dose of dish.
And before we get started, that was a salute, a birthday salute to our dear Trish, who celebrated her 30th birthday this Saturday. And she went away with a whole bunch of friends and she had a great time. And now she's back, non-functional, but we love her anyway.
That opener was actually kind of like a perfect tribute because it was such a mess, not like our normal openers. It kind of just like tells you about how my weekend went.
So she made it. She's back.
Either way, guys, welcome back to another episode of Gay Talk 2.0, the ultimate podcast, streaming live on Digital Stream Radio. You can listen to this live stream every Monday night at 6:30 p.m. by visiting digitalstreamradio.com. On today's show, we're going to welcome Poppy Champlin, one of the quickest-witted LGBT comedians working either coast today. Her production of The Queer Queens of Comedy is in its 12th year, and today we get to chat with her to talk about her upcoming presentation at the Hartford Funny Bone in Hartford, Connecticut on August 20th, which is next weekend. We will have more with Poppy on the second half of the show. My name is Tom, and I am your host, and as always, I'm here with my amazing co-host, starting with the birthday queen.
Hey, y'all, Nick or Trish.
And
good to be with you guys. It's Chris.
And welcome you all to
The Dish.
It's going to be a show full of like emotional distress and happiness. So we're going to talk about a lot of things that may or may not be uplifting. They might not be, but it'll be fun. We'll try to make it as fun as possible given the topics that we have lined up, but we're going to make it work. So before we get started, as we usually do, we'll have Chris disseminate our fantastic, delicious cocktail that he cooked up for us today. Chris?
We're going the classic route again. I like this one. It was something that we haven't done before, and I thought it was about time. So today we're going with the classic Sidecar. And as with most cocktails, the origins of the drink are hazy, so be suspicious of those who state with certainty where or when the sidecar was first mixed. But this entrancing mixture of brandy, lemon juice, and orange liqueur started making the rounds in the most fashionable watering holes in London and Paris during the 1920s. It's a very simple structure and clearly potent because the cursive is already coming out.
Cursive already? It's like we just made it
3 minutes. So very simple in structure. The sidecar is complex enough in flavor to satisfy even the most jaded palates, but not so over the top with mixological gewgaws as to frighten away the casual tippler. That's how Paul Clark put it. So the way this drink goes, it consists of 2 ounces of cognac, 1 ounce of Cointreau, 3/4 ounce fresh lemon juice. Optional, you can rub a lemon rind along your glass and dip it in some sugar to give it a nice sugary rim.
Rimming,
yes, exactly. So in a shaker, you combine the brandy, Cointreau, and lemon juice in a cocktail shaker, and you fill it with ice, shake it up till it's nice and chilled, about 10 seconds or so, and strain it into your glass. You can garnish it with an orange or lemon peel if you'd like. And fantastic. That is the sidecar.
And, you know, surprisingly, it was actually very delicious. I'm one of those jaded palates. It's like, for me, it's like, it's either vodka or vodka or vodka. And so when Chris decides that he's going to jump into something different, I sort of kind of be like, okay, well, what is it? Is it gin?
That's immediately what he went to.
Immediately. I was like, please don't let it be another gin.
It's the most versatile spirit. Gin really is. There's so much you can do with it.
Vodka is so much more versatile because you can drink it straight up.
You can drink gin straight up. I love drinking gin martinis.
Chris? I mean, Nick?
You're looking at him.
I have nothing on this topic.
I just thought it was good because we haven't done a cocktail.
It's a fine cocktail.
Indeed.
So, darling.
We haven't done a cognac/brandy-based cocktail, so I thought we'd
dip in that. It was delicious. We've got our mystery guest in studio, by the way.
For like the 47th time.
Yeah, that name shall not be said, but we enjoy having people here with us.
She just keeps showing up.
I told you to lock that damn door, Tom.
I tried, but, you know, she's got keys now. So anyway, so Trish, it was your birthday weekend.
It was.
Saturday was your big 30th, mm-hmm. And did you enjoy yourself?
I did. Paul Anthony, who's no longer part of the show, organized a trip to Providence, Rhode Island, and we stayed at the Omni Hotel. Probably can't ever stay there again.
Not after housekeeping went in the next morning.
No, no, the room wasn't bad, but I did...
I'm talking more about the odors.
So at some point in the evening, I disappeared, and I left the entire group of people and called my sister, and I was like, I don't know where I am, or like, literally, no idea what happened or how I got there. My friend John was like, maybe you were dancing with some guy and then you just kind of disappeared. I was like, but I don't remember going anywhere with any guy. But there is a part of the night that I don't remember in general. So anyway, got in an Uber, got to the hotel, realized I do not have a hotel key to the room and everybody is still out.
Super bummer.
And so I go to the front desk.
You fucking mess up.
And I'm clearly not sober. And I'm not on the reservation because it's all under Paul's name.
Fucking
Paul. they wouldn't give me a room key, and I just started going, I'm 30 and I'm drunk. I just want the room key. Can you get me a supervisor? I'm just 30 and drunk. And then finally, after like I bitched and moaned for a while, I think it got a little aggressive and heated, they gave me a room key and I made my way back to the room.
This is why I fucking love you.
But let's just say I definitely did 30 right. I had a great time. Providence, Rhode Island is a lot of fun. I saw a lot of people I haven't seen in a while. It was a trip.
Maybe we'll take the show on the road and visit your 30th birthday stomping grounds and revisit this whole episode again. If the Omni's willing to welcome us and, we'll do a show right from the hotel.
I don't think the Omni would let us back.
If you were sober, I think they would. They would love you sober.
Oh my God.
I love you sober.
It was such a crazy, I mean, I knew it was going to be crazy. It was my 30th, but.
Well, I'm happy that, you had fun at least. Mm-hmm.
But you want to know something even more amazing?
What?
So on Friday, my birthday was on Saturday. On Friday, I showed up to work. And for our listeners, I don't know if I've ever mentioned this before. I'm colorblind.
Big time.
And there's this company called Enchroma, and they make color-correcting glasses, sunglasses, and actual indoor glasses that you can wear so that, you can see color for the first time. And I showed up to work, and my assistant had organized the entire staff to raise money to buy these, and they're like $400 sunglasses. The entire staff bought me these color correcting sunglasses, and he got so much money that he also got me a acupuncture appointment, which I love. Lydia, I'll be seeing you soon.
We've talked about her before.
Mm-hmm. Yep. We've talked about her.
But
we should have her call the show someday.
It was absolutely crazy to put them on and see a spectrum of color I've never seen in my entire life. I cried. I cry at everything, but
he did.
It was a trip, and I can't thank them enough. Like, it was amazing. I never expected that.
I have a confession. So Trish sent over a video, which I'm not gonna show to anybody, but it shows him and where he's like pulling the glasses out. He puts the glasses on. He walks outside and he's looking out. And he's like, oh my God. And then he's like really focusing on things. And then all of a sudden you see him wiping his tears and he is ugly crying, like ugly. Crying. It was bad.
It was crazy. I was looking at, so obviously, there were these trees in the back of the theater that I work at that I've looked at, for 5 years, and I put them on and I saw all of these different shades of green that I had never seen before, and all these trees looked so different to me all of a sudden, and I was just flabbergasted. I literally, there's a green bike lane in New Haven. Didn't know it was green. I'm driving around with my assistant that day, and I'm asking him, is that orange? And he's like, yeah, that's orange. And I was like, is that yellow? And he's like, yeah, that's yellow. It was just, it's a mind fuck. It really was a mind fuck because these colors, I've never seen these colors. And then I went and I was walking around a garden later that afternoon, and I could pick out the colors of the flowers, which is something I've never been able to do before. I was like, that's blue. That's blue, right? That's blue.
That's incredible.
That's awesome. That's incredible. And I'm happy. And thank you guys over at the the Long Wharf Theater for being such gracious people to bestow upon our Trish a wonderful gift that allows her to see life in new colors.
Yeah, and not only did they buy those for me, but they each individually, every single person that I worked with wrote me an individual card, and the cards were in rainbow colors, so they were set up like a rainbow.
Oh,
when I
awesome.
Walked into my office.
Well, I do have a newfound respect for you, and I'll explain. So Trish has always been very, or Nick, should I say, has always been very, very vocal about the community and rainbows, and he's got a tattoo of a rainbow on one of his feet. I'm not sure whether it's the right or left, but it's on there. And you're always so vocal about the colors of our community, but it's just shocking to me that you were never able to see them, yet you were so able to convey their message and to see them with new eyes, to be able to actually see color.
Yeah, I can't wait till I see an actual rainbow for the first time with my sunglasses.
You're going to shit your pants.
I really think I'm going to
be shitting gold, girl.
Because like when you look at like the rainbow flag, everything's so bold. Like I can see bold colors, so everything's so bold, I can see it. But when you look at an actual rainbow, there are shades within that rainbow that I don't see, so it just blends together. Mm-hmm. And so I'm super fucking stoked to see a rainbow. I'll probably cry again.
Oh, you're totally going
to
cry.
We need to make it rain and then let it sunshine quick so that
it might rain tomorrow, so avoid wearing white or khaki.
Oh, okay.
Oh, well, see the colors of shit?
Well, you said he's going to shit himself, so yeah, avoid those light-colored pants.
On all that happiness note, I do want to say something. I know that Tommy's not going to be happy about this, but so we got an email. We got an email from a subscriber. I'm not going to mention names, but last week I had said something about bisexuality, and not exactly sure what I said, but I just want to be clear that I am sorry if I offended anybody in that community, and that I love our community as a whole equally.
I didn't think anything wrong was said with the message, to be honest with you. I mean, I heard it back. I went back and I listened to the recording, and I'm like, well, we were talking about Aaron Carter coming out halfway. That's a message, something that I said.
Right.
And I said to myself, I'm like, well, we're talking about him really not, because he wasn't really descriptive in what it was that he was.
But I think the
his message was very...
Right, but the reason the person emailed us is because there is a stigma within the bisexual community that because they're bisexual, they don't come out and they don't support the community, and that's actually not the case for a lot of people.
Right, and he didn't come out halfway. He just didn't come out as gay. He came out as bisexual.
Right, and people think that bisexuals use bisexuality as almost like a shield, so they don't have to come out fully, and that's not what happened in this case. Aaron Carter came out as bisexual.
Correct.
Fully came out as bisexual.
He has every right to do so. But again, I go back to that conversation that we had, and I listen over to it. And to me, I didn't hear anything wrong with it when we were discussing, in the context that we were discussing the conversation and saying that, you know what, he came out. The point of that story was that he came out and gave a heartfelt message on Facebook, on Twitter, which you
and
then
brought more
also,
visibility to
of course,
community.
It exactly. was all about visibility. That's exactly the point that we were trying to make. So I don't know where all that came from, but
no matter. Well, with that being said, I want to say that I appreciate getting the email, because we don't only want like just people to blow smoke up our asses. We like when people, you know, ask us things, call us out. Yeah. We're real people, and real people can deal with criticisms. So I appreciate
course.
The email.
Yeah, and but we I call say it things, out when it is and it has to be called out. So
and we say things flippantly on the show all the time, though. We do. We just things roll off
all
our tongue. So not. I mean, we all know that this is not a censored podcast, and this is a very explicit podcast.
In any
podcast.
Way, shape, or form.
And things may come out then when we're joking or being stupid that aren't necessarily appropriate for our community. And when that happens, It happens.
It's an opinion. But, we're entitled to it. And we just have to sort of kind of keep it going, because guess what? Like I said, I didn't find anything wrong with that. The message. And then you even actually read something that he had wrote for Boy George at the end of that tweet that he tweeted, which I thought was absolutely beautiful. It's a good thing that he came out. Again, visibility, visibility, visibility. If someone got offended, sorry. But you know what? It's what we did. We can't take it back. I'm not going to... You know.
I said my piece. I apologize.
Let's
move on.
The fuck on. Oh, all right. Boy. So anyway, we're going to jump into one of our stories that we have. The National Center for Lesbian Rights, which is known as the NCLR, and the GLBT Legal Advocates and Defenders, GLAAD, filed a federal lawsuit in the U.S. District Court of Colombia challenging President Trump's directive to reinstate a ban on transgender people serving in our military. Now, the suit, which is dubbed Doe versus Trump, was filed on behalf of five transgender service members with nearly 60 years of combined military service. In a statement released by the lawyers of the NCLR, they stated the following, and I'm going to quote, "In June of 2016, after comprehensive review of the issue by military experts and others, the Department of Defense announced that transgender people could serve openly in all branches of the U.S. military. The department concluded that the ban served no legitimate purpose and that open service by transgender people would serve the military's best interests. Since that time, thousands of transgender servicemen and women of the transgender community have begun to serve openly." And that's quite an astonishing number because, you know, here we are saying, yes, that our government said it's okay to do that. All these people come out, and then all of a sudden Trump pulls a move like this.
Right, but it is important to point out that this was a tweet. This was not policy. This was not an executive order. And I'm not defending the president. I'm just saying that this was never put on the board, that this is law. No,
but while he was on vacation, the White House was working very hard to create a policy.
Of course, because Trump wasn't there. It was the real bigots that are in his cabinet, probably strong-held by Mike Pence himself. Those are the ones that we're watching out for. But yes, as of when that first came out, it was a tweet. It was not policy.
By the way, I hope you enjoyed your 17-day vacation, fucking fuckface.
Working, quote-unquote, working vacation, playing golf. Everything he swore he would never.
You're not
have
a
time
fucking salesman. You're the president.
Not be evil to our president.
Yeah.
What?
Why
would you ever say that?
We don't want to sound bigoted to a specific demographic of people that have rights and freedom
Shut up,
of
Tommy.
Speech.
Shut up.
I'm just saying.
Keep going.
Exactly.
I was like, do you not smell the sarcasm coming out of his hole? Ugh,
big time. So, well, I warned you. Anyway, so here's a quote from one of the people who actually is affected by all of this. This individual said the following: "Last year, the Department of Defense announced that transgender people could serve openly. I was very relieved and came out as a transgender individual to my commanding officer, who were very supportive. My experience has been positive, and I am prouder than ever to continue to serve. I am married, and I have three children, and the military has been my life. But now I worry about the future of my family." This is the type of thing that really, 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 it's like punching someone in the gut and taking their entire breath away. It's like, we have one administration saying it's okay, do it, come out, stand at the front, at the forefront of your community, and then an incoming president decides that out of the blue, after repeatedly saying that he was for the LGBT community and coming out and displaying an LGBT flag and saying Trump for the LGBT community, etc., goes and literally just deals a blow to the transgender community in doing this. And again, yes, it was a tweet, but we have to think about that going forward. This is how this man operates. His dealings, his policy is all thrown out on tweets, including everything that's going on with North Korea or world views, world political views. It's all via Twitter.
And it's going to be – that'll end up being the downfall. There was even a – it's sad that – we even have to have a special like this, but CNN on Friday at 9 p.m. is putting out a special, Twitter and Trump. And one of the senators came out and said, if Trump is going to implode, it's going to be over Twitter. Like, it's so sad that we got to the point where they're literally having a special on a major news network, which today when he was went out and was speaking about the crisis going on in Virginia, when Jim Acosta of CNN started to ask a question, he was pointing at him and he said, "You are fake news. You are fake news," and turned around and walked out. Just had to point that out there. He's running with that fake news, calling out CNN on that.
Well, you know, when the truth hurts, it hurts. Mm-hmm. And people want to call it fake news, whatever it is that you want to call it. But it's the truth and it's out there. We have very, very reputable journalists that go out and do very, very amazing work and bring you stories that are just compelling and true. And if he wants to sit there and call it fake news, that's his prerogative.
Yeah. And even in one of the – I was seeing some coverage on the past tweets that he had been putting out. And at one point where he was talking about, what are we living in, Nazi Germany? That's exactly what you're trying to do by silencing the press. That is what happens under fascism. You silence the press, you call them your enemies, and you suppress them completely. That's what he's trying. That's not what America will stand for, ever.
And with that, Christopher, your story?
Well, I didn't want to end up making that actually. I changed my mind. We wanted to talk about what's been going on in Virginia. Obviously, it's been huge. And obviously, it's been dominating the news and everyone's been hearing about it. But I didn't want to have to have that take up everything about our show. We have so much that we want to talk about. But
it's important. We have to talk.
Well, obviously, we know that there has been over the weekend an alternative right, an alt-right, white supremacist, neo-Nazi faction moved into Virginia and was having their rally. And they were met with fierce counter-protests, which led to violence. And then
injuries.
Injuries and death. And it led to something that the president will not call out as what it is. It is domestic terrorism. What happened with that car when that man plowed through, when you use violence, fear, and terror to try to push your view, or propaganda to push your views on other people, that is the textbook definition of terrorism. And when it happens at home, it's domestic. And the same thing happened today.
In Nice,
it happened again in Paris today. Paris had another car, or just outside of Paris, a vehicle drove into a pizzeria and killed, I believe, a couple people were killed and more people were injured. When it's in Nice, or when it's what happened again today outside of Paris, it's called terrorism. It's the same. It had the same affection that happened today.
Well, we have white alt-right people in the White House, so they're not going to fucking call it terrorism.
Steve Bannon, of course. Well, but Donald Trump, and this is what he was criticized for so much, when he went out there and he said all these violence was brought on by many sides, he was obviously calling out the clashes between the two sides, saying that many sides are bringing this violence. Yes, it was violent. I've seen the videos. The counter protesters and the alt-right were clashing, and it was getting violent on both ends. But what Donald Trump was failing to call out were the white supremacist groups, the KKK, the neo-Nazis. That's the one that he got to the point where he was backed into a corner enough, and the Republicans and other senators are like, please, Mr. President, call out these hate groups. And he finally went out there today, and he finally condemned the KKK, the neo-Nazis, and the white supremacists after 48 hours.
A little too late.
Here's
my thing behind this, okay? Why? Obviously, we protect freedom of speech here in the U.S., right? It's one of our constitutionally protected rights. But when our community, the LGBT community gets together and we go to Washington, D.C. and we have a march, we do so in protection for our civil liberties. We do it because we are an oppressed group and we're trying to get equal rights for all of our members of our community. When you have another group, we don't oppress anybody. I don't want to oppress you. I just want my equal rights. When you have another group come down on a university to publicly shame other groups of people, whether that's black minority, Hispanic minority, gay, lesbian, transgender, queer minorities, and say that these people shouldn't exist, that is wrong. Because now you are not fighting for yourself. You're fighting for the right of other people to be taken away. And that is not cool. And the fact that the university allowed this is, to me, baffling. The fact that they were allowed to actually even get together. And first of all, who the fuck goes to a fucking rally with a fucking tiki torch that you buy at fucking Home Depot and put a little canister in it with some freaking oil and light it up? That belongs in a backyard to burn off mosquitoes with some freaking, you know, DEET or whatever in it.
DEET!
it's to me. And then, you know, there's a lot of faces out there. There's a lot of people that were caught on picture. And there is a slew of Facebook posts right now putting these people on blast.
Oh, yeah.
Good for them.
I want to add to that. There were two points that I needed to say before we moved on from this that are very important. One of them, you just said it right there. Logan Smith, back in 2012, created a Twitter account called Yes, You're Racist. And what he's been doing is he's taking to Twitter to expose the racist at these rallies, and he's posting rally pics to identify the individuals. So any snapshots that he got, he was posting online, and they're even starting to connect people and to be able to point out where they're working to expose what these people are for. So anyone that was at, took place at the counter protest or was there, and you have pictures of these people, go on, post them to his Twitter. Yes, you're racist. Expose these bigots. Let their neighbors, their mothers, know what kind of monsters they are.
And you know what's even more more disturbing is that some of these people could work in positions that require them to be very unbiased when it comes to dealing with personnel at work. For example, there was reporting that one of these individuals actually worked in HR. Why would you go to a rally like this and then expose yourself like that, come out and have your picture plastered all over the place? And first of all, how do you go back to work and sit down and look at someone of color and say, I'm going to treat you with respect at work? That was just something I did outside. Mm-hmm. That your issue, whatever it is that went on, whether why the reason why you're sitting here in HR with me is not going to cloud my judgment in the sense that I'm able to advocate for you, which is one of the main functions of the human resources department, is to advocate and be a mediator between the company and the issue that the employee has with either a member of the company or the company itself.
Correct.
It's baffling to me that a company, if they see that person, would still employ that person in that position.
I agree.
It's just uncalled for. And I hope that companies and employers who are looking at these individuals identify them and rectify the situation, because that's going to turn into a situation where companies might be at risk of not really advocating for what they should stand for when it comes to a human resources perspective.
I just have a couple things to say on this whole thing, and then we should probably move on. But
yes,
I'm going to add my last thing before we do, too.
But so a light in the dark with everything that's going on is that a father did come out and disown publicly his son for being at this rally. But not only did the father, the entire family disowned him. Saying things like, I've shared my home and hearth with friends and acquaintances of every race, gender, and creed. I have taught all of my children that all men and women are created equal. So I just want people to know that just because there's that one person standing up doesn't mean that there are 1,000 people behind them. There are so many people that are out there trying to do good and seeing this as what it is. And it's crazy and fucked up. And there are things that you need to know. So I read another article by Rose Damu. If you're feeling helpless, here are a few actions you can take. One, use the right language. Mm-hmm. They are racists. They are terrorists. They are militants. They are radicals. Take to the streets, plant a sign in your yard, shout from your roof. Protesting is a form of telling the truth in public. Tell the truth, America. And then contact your state attorney general and ask that they investigate and prosecute white domestic terrorist groups like ones in Charlottesville. And then, of course, donate to causes like the Southern Poverty Law Center or the Charlottesville Solidarity Legal Fund. There's a lot of things that we can do as individuals, and we just need to continue to stand strong and stand up.
Right. And for those minority groups that, you know, again, come together and protest or even go and do a march for their civil rights, for their civil liberties, continue to do so. You know, mm-hmm. Be strong in your voice. We live in a country that fortunately for us affords us the opportunity to be able to do that. Don't shy down. Don't let these people bring you down. They're going to do what they're going to do, and we're just going to be here to counteract that. And I mean, you know, they want to spread hate, we'll spread love.
Let's just – like, love is love, obviously. But we fought fucking – wars because of this shit. Mm-hmm. Like, you can't call yourself an American and call yourself a Nazi at the same time. Right. We literally fought a war for that.
And even that senator came out and said, my brother didn't die fighting Hitler, so Nazism can spread throughout the United States.
Exactly. And it's not even that. I mean, we fought a war about slavery, too. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, like,
we're constantly fighting oppression here and abroad, but then we are allowing this to happen.
Yeah. Wake up. Your time is over.
And one thing I do want to shed light on, and then I would love to move on, but for that one woman who was killed when that terrorist drove through the crowd of people, Heather Heyer, That is a true American patriot. Heather lost her life standing up, being visible, and speaking out against hatred. There was a quote, "She died fighting for what she believed in. We're going to keep her message going." That was said by a close friend of Heather. And our hearts here at Gay Talk 2.0, our hearts go out to Heather's family and her friends, as well as the family and friends of officers Jay Cullen and Burke Bates, who were killed when their helicopter crashed while surveying the unrest. So our hearts go out to you guys. And thanks for your service. And we'll keep your message going, Heather.
May they rest in peace.
Indeed.
May have been a heavy first half, but Poppy's coming on, so yeah, it'll lighten right. up.
Yeah. All right, so do we want to go on break?
Yeah,
we probably All right, so we're going to take a quick break. We are going to give you some amazing music, as we always do. We'll be right back.
Support from your love, will you find me soon? Trapped in the darkness, lost in the night, so far away, out of sight.
Thank you. kitchen floor. It seems like you can't take no more. I'm sorry, but when my engine starts, I just can't get enough. I've locked you up and tie you down, so you'll be here, won't sneak around. I'll lace you up and put you on. For you every day and night, I'm running, running for you. Gotta move, don't want no ride. So warm me up, cause I know the world is at my feet. Yeah, so take me higher, baby. Let's go and hit the streets. Yeah. At my feet, yeah. So take me higher, baby. Let's go and hit the streets, yeah.
All right, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. That was our break. There's a lot of music to cover there. That was Invisible by Jens East and Camilla North. Memories by Jens East and, featuring Razva. Running, also by Jens East, featuring Elsk. And, of course, the Gay Talk 2.0 Deep House Anthem by yours truly.
Deep House.
Yeah, it's deep. It's deep, baby.
The name just gets me every time. Deep House Anthem.
So thank you so much for staying with us. We are now on the second half of the show. And well, now without further ado, we'd like to welcome to the show funny woman Poppy Champlin. Welcome to the show.
Well, thank you. Very good to be Skyped in. This is awesome.
See, that's one of my favorite parts of when we have guests on and they're not able to be in studio with us, that we can see their faces. It's always amazing to do that. She's got beautiful eyes, by the way.
She does.
Bug eyes.
I think it's hard to have a conversation without being able to look at somebody in the face.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that's why I love Skype so much.
Well, yeah. Radio, though, it's all about voices.
That's true.
It's true, but I mean for us, for the sake of being able to have that connection come through the radio recording, it's always best to be able to look at someone, and I appreciate that more when it comes to Skype. It's
and when awesome. It comes to radio, we have the face for it.
We do.
I had several people this weekend tell me I did not look 30. They were like, "You're 30? Oh my God." And I was like, moisturizer and Bondo, baby. it
sort of kind of defeats the purpose now because they can't see you, right?
Mm-hmm.
Sort like of I kind said, of face like, for radio.
She does have a face for radio. She makes Love it up Trish. Every day. Mm-hmm. So,
it
Poppy,
does look pretty.
So, Poppy, darling, thank you for joining us on the show. It's my understanding you are, first of all, a fantastic comedian. I put a video actually on our website of your logo performance.
I did see that you did that. Thank you.
Fierce. You're very quick-witted and you're one hell of a freaking comedian. Now tell us, what's going on in your life?
Well, I'm very busy right now. Very busy. Well, you know, I produce the show, The Queer Queens of Comedy. And I spell comedy with a Q, so you can tell how crazy that is.
Oh, crazy and queer. Love it.
Yeah. Queer Queens of Comedy with a Q. And so this tour coming up through Hartford, Syracuse, and Rochester is happening August 2023-24. And then I just put Texas on the tour. So now I'll have three new lesbian comedians with me, and we're going to go to Dallas, San Antonio, Houston, and I think I'm adding Austin as well. So then we'll have a fourth city tour.
I would definitely do Austin. Austin is a very, very nice city.
Yeah, and so is Dallas. Cedar Springs, I think, is like the strip where it's a lot of fun to go.
Oakland.
Yep. So I'm trying to get an intern. Like, I want to be like you. You have four people there. I need four people.
Well, the fourth one's a secret. The fourth one, the hatted one, is not here.
He's our elusive guest.
Yeah, he's exactly. So he joins us once in a blue moon. He'll sit in. And,
when Tommy leaves the gate open up front.
Yes. And he sort of kind of helps us out. And, you know, he's a good lad. We love him.
He looks good. He looks like he's working on something there.
He's adorable, right?
It's those dimples. You want to eat cereal out of them.
So, Poppy, you are in your 12th year of Queer Queens of Comedy.
Yeah,
how did it all start?
Well, it all started back in Alexandria, Virginia.
Out of all places,
you guys were just talking about, but Alexandria is far from Charlottesville, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Let's hope so.
Anyway, so
I don't know.
I wanted to be the big headliner because I think I'm as funny as Kay Clinton and Suzanne Westenhofer. Should I say that? I said it.
It's okay. It happened.
And so, but I don't have the name, you know, or I didn't then 12 years ago. So I asked the Birchmere in Alexandria if I could come in and do the night. And he's like, you don't have the name. I said, well, how about if I bring two other lesbian comedians in who are just as funny and we sell it out and there's three of us. And he's like, all right, let's try it. So I called it the Queer Queens of Comedy and we sold 450 tickets. So that's how it started.
That's awesome.
That's amazing.
So you've been doing it for 12 years. Do you have something?
Well, I was just going to ask you locally, because you have the tour that's going on in Hartford, Rochester, and Albany. Is that correct?
Syracuse,
sorry. Who are the other two comedians that will be performing with you?
So Aaron Foley is going to be headlining it. And Aaron just did a Late Late Show with Craig Ferguson.
Okay.
She was also has also been on Conan O'Brien.
All right.
And she does like Montreal Comedy Festival.
Ooh, Canada.
Yeah, she's good. She's been getting a lot of great press, and she's got a lot of commercials. She's from L.A. Well, she lives out in L.A. now, but she's going to be on the East Coast to visit family and whatnot, so we're lucky to get her. So she's going to be in it. And then Dre Kerbin, who I try and bring also the new lesbian comics coming up into the folds. And so this is a she's a local Syracuse lesbian comic. So she's going to come down to Hartford, and then we're going back up to Syracuse. So.
That's amazing.
And then in Rochester, let me just add this. Yep. I'm actually using a real drag queen. This is going to be my first one.
That's amazing. Boy, there's going to be glitter and feathers everywhere.
Can we ask who it is?
Yeah, who is the drag queen?
Mercedes Soule.
Mercedes. Where is she from?
I think she's from Rochester. She won Miss Gay Rochester in 2014, I believe.
Oh, this should be fun. Let me tell you, sometimes when you get a drag queen come on stage and start popping jokes,
I know
they do pretty well. I mean,
I know.
One of the funniest, well, two funny queens that I know that I actually love when they do stand up because they're incredible is Bianca Del Rio. I've seen her live shows twice. And Bob the Drag Queen is also a very funny drag queen.
That's so cool.
That'll be awesome. It'll be a good element, a different element for your show.
Yep.
So how did that connection happen?
Well, I feel like, first of all, I want to be more inclusive and not just use lesbians, because I do want the gay men to come and see the shows and get them in by using drag queens or gay men. And in Rochester, Dre actually can't come and do that show because she's working that night, so she can't do the Rochester show. So I needed another comedian on the show because QQQ, always three. So I thought of that would be a good idea, and then I asked the club owner, and she said, I know just the person, and she hooked it up.
That's amazing.
Excellent, yeah.
Can I ask, so obviously there are a lot of comedy shows that happen all the time, and usually it's a plethora of people, whether it's lesbian, straight male, straight female, or whatnot. Why was it so important for you to start a comedy show that was lesbian based or queer based? What drove you to make sure that it was queer based?
Well, I find I am much more comfortable playing to my people. Mm-hmm. Because I mean, I came up through the ranks of comedy. I mean, I started in 1982, right out of college. And so I worked through the ranks through the all male straight clubs. And it was so hard to be a female to even get time on stage. So, and to play to straight men, you know what they're thinking. Mm-hmm. And at first I lied about my pronouns. Like, I wasn't out at first. I always said my boyfriend this and my boyfriend that so that they would like me. And that is kind of gone now, that fear of them is gone now, but it's still the comfortability. I need to have at least the majority be gay for my comfort level to be less anxiety, full of anxiety about the audience.
Well, I mean, when you talk about lying about the pronouns at those times, was it more nerve-wracking performing for like straight men or straight women for you?
Men.
Yeah?
Oh, yeah.
Hmm. Well, I mean, I can certainly say that as a show, we can certainly identify in that feeling, because for us, it would be really hard to go into a straight bar and do our show. And the level
of
uncomfortableness, for me at least, sitting in a straight bar with a straight clientele trying to talk about LGBTQ issues and in our lingo would be very, very disturbing, not only for them, but for me. So yeah. I can definitely relate in why you feel comfortable, you know, dealing with the LGBT community when it comes to your comedy.
Though
I mean,
would,
makes sense.
Though I would love to see this at a straight bar to hold up the fuck her sign and have all that scared. Fuck her!
So we say fuck her a lot. We don't mean that in a derogatory way, but when we had live show, Chris had the idea of making all these little signs. And so we had a lot of the catchphrases that we use on the show. One of them is fuck her. And and then we did
applause.
Yavol. Yeah. So, I mean, you know, it's a lot of the fun things that we do here on the show, and people really, really gravitated towards them. And we had a really good time doing our live show. So that was special. But I can certainly understand why for you it would be important to ensure that you have the people that support you there.
Yeah, and not only that, I mean, I can go to the wider ring of it, which is gay people need to have their shows too. You know what I mean?
Like, well, of
they're
course.
All straight. It's all straight comedy. Comedy's straight, man. So if you can get the gay show together and have it be what I try and bring, which is like I am an A comedian, like I'm in the level of A, you know, and I bring other A comedians. So a lot of times you'll go to comedy clubs and you'll see some shitty comedians, you know, you'll be like, what are we doing here? This is ridiculous. You know, like, why am I paying a lot of money to sit through this bullshit? Whereas this show, I mean, it is out of the gate. You are laughing your ass off for the whole time. You know,
awesome.
I mean, laughter, we're going to do it. Let's do it. And it's full-throated laughter the whole time. So at least that's what I bring. You know what I mean? And I try and bring comics who do the same.
But there's also an element, too, I think that's really important about keeping it queer. And correct me if I'm wrong, but I always preach about visibility on our show and being out there and being visible and promoting who we are in our community. And having a specific comedy show that is specifically queer and currently specifically lesbian is really important because... In my view and in my experience, the lesbian community really haven't had as strong of a voice as they should have had. And it's important to get those voices out. So what you're doing is, whether it's just because you feel more comfortable or not, it's actually serving the community in a way that you probably don't even realize.
Yeah. Well, like when I just got back from P-Town and I, you know, this past week was like whale week and the week before was family week. And
I should have been there.
And the week before,
give me them titties.
And the week before was girl splash. So, but family week and whale week, there's like, I'm looking around. Like, I feel like I've got gaydar and I'm like, where are the lesbians? And you know what I mean? I see lesbians and I go and I attack them and tell them about the show. So we're dwindling as far as participating in P-Town.
Yeah, you know? No, it's become a very heterosexual environment. A lot of heterosexual people have been going there a lot lately.
I mean, yeah, it's a good thing in a sense that people want to come out and engage in our culture and be exposed to who we are as a community. But there's a lot of things that come along with that. We just recently, I was reading on Facebook that one of my personal friends went up to P-Town and he was actually bullied for being who he was. And that's kind of tough in a town like P-Town. You know, it's very, very tough.
I would have lost my shit.
That's bad.
You know, I mean, when we think about Provincetown, it is the mecca for the LGBT community, for both lesbian, gay men, transgender folks, everyone that encompasses our community. And we go there, and it is a safe space. It is a beautiful, beautiful community. And you can go there and hold hands with your partner and be affectionate without having to worry about someone screaming some profanity at you or coming at you in a negative way.
Right.
And then when you have things like that happen in our safe spaces, that's a sense that is an immediate concern for the people who manage that town.
Yeah. Yep.
I know. Well, the people that manage it, they're all gay too, but I mean, I suppose they like the gay dollars, but I mean the straight dollars, but my sense from the store shopkeepers and whatnot is that the straight people are just coming for the day and they're not spending money and they're just being rude and they're, it feels like they're taking over during the day. And then at night it's back to being a nice kind of more gay town. Yeah. But
that also affects the local shops too, because I mean, if these the heterosexual community is coming in and moving into the space during the day, and they're not really shopping, and they're intimidating people who are there to be themselves,
right?
They sort of kind of stick around in their hotel rooms, or you know what, let's just do something else and not go shopping because I don't want to deal with that, and then we'll go out later and do what we need to do.
Yep.
They took over the beach too. Like when I stepped onto Herring Cove Beach, usually that was the lesbian beach. Mm-hmm. And I stepped onto the beach. I was like, oh, my God, we lost. We've lost. We totally lost the fight.
Well, that's why
I take that back.
Well, and I would like to think, too, that the people on like this story that are going to Provincetown are allies and are people that are supportive of the community. But clearly that's not just the case. But on the other side, I think it's important to note that it's like, when I'm here in New Haven or anywhere and I'm walking down the street with my significant other and I'm holding their hand, I'm fearful. And well, not fearful, but I'm aware. Mm-hmm. That's the better word. I'm aware of what's going on around me because it makes me nervous because who knows what's going to happen. But when I'm in P-Town,
I lose that.
It's gone.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's what it should be. And that's what it's always been. So it actually does upset me a little bit to hear these stories. Yeah, I had no idea that this was happening.
Especially with P-Town, you know, there are so many families that do go there. So you think that, you know, they're raising their children that be acceptable, love everyone.
Yeah.
And with New Haven, it's such a mecca here. We have people from all walks of life, all over the world. So you're going to have people who look at two guys walking or two girls walking down the street holding hands and they look at that and they don't agree with that. But in a place like that where you should feel like a safe haven in P-Town. So it's a little interesting to hear that you were getting that vibe out there, especially lately. I haven't been in years, so I have really nothing to say about it.
I go often. I absolutely love P-Town. But let me ask you a question. So we look at comedians and we talk about the greats. Richard Pryor, you look at comedians like Eddie Murphy. You've got, Robin Williams. And a lot of these comedians take personal experiences and turn it into comedy. Do you incorporate a lot of the stuff that goes on in your personal life in your comedy?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Like, as far as like the Straits taking over, I was like, they're taking over. What are we going to do? They used to be afraid of us. That was what was going on.
That's Straits. An interesting point, actually.
Right. They used to be afraid of us. They used to think, oh, if you touch them, you're going to get gay Ebola or something, you know? and now they're just like hitting you. Get out of the way, bitch. I need taffy. You know?
The saltwater taffy there is so good, though.
Right.
I can't stand saltwater taffy. My boyfriend went there last year, and he bought me like 4 bags of it. I'm like,
four bags?
Yeah, who buys 4 bags of taffy?
You're supposed to give it out. Like, here, try some saltwater taffy.
I gave it all to my dad.
Did he enjoy it?
Well, yeah, it's a dad thing. Well, dads love taffy.
Somebody enjoyed it. It's a beautiful thing.
So, getting back to the actual show,
not talking about fucking comedy.
Can you explain to us a little bit about what the structure of the show is, or what the set's like, or is that something that's like we don't talk about it?
Oh no! You mean the Queer Queen show?
Yeah.
Like, so I'm like the ringleader. You know what I mean? Like, I open the show and I sing in my shows. So I usually come out, do 20 minutes and then do a song and then bring on would bring on Dre. And then Dre does her set and she'll do about 20, 25 maybe. And then I come back and do another like 20 with another song and then bring on the headliner and then close it out with a song. And It flows. It's nice. There's music. There's a raffle. It's fun. And the Funny Bones are really nice clubs.
And how much are tickets?
$25.
Oh my God. Easy. That's a steal.
Easy. Yeah.
Are
exactly.
you kidding me? For how long is the show?
They usually go for like 2 hours.
So you get 2 hours of wonderful comedy for $25. You can't go wrong. And if I'm not mistaken, they do serve there, right? They have alcohol and food. I mean, you can really like make this a really cool night out with friends, family, whoever, and come out and just enjoy a great show.
Yeah, that's why I like to kind of make it like a festival. Like I try and invite groups and organizations to come and set up their table too, so that, you know, other like a rugby team or a PFLAG or a HRC can be there and also be giving out their stuff, so that it's not just queer queens. It's like kind of a lesbian festival or a gay festival. If the gay men would start playing with us, we would do a lot more things.
So you do work with like local charities or organizations?
Yeah. Like Excellent. The first time I was did it at there, I did it, the Hartford Lesbian Gay and something Health Collective. And so I gave back to them. And then another time I gave back to, I tried to give to Hartford Pride, and now, and I also give to New Haven Pride as well, because I like to take out an ad in their newsletter. And
well,
I just try. Yeah.
Well, the New Haven Pride Center actually has a new executive director now, Patrick Dunham.
Here, somebody's gonna be here performing for our pride.
Yes, and we're super excited about this. So you
Me
might
too.
End up seeing us, so we might be able to get you to sit down with us and have a conversation during Pride.
Oh, that'd be good.
That'd be fun.
Look for three dudes, all different skin colors, stuffed into like black tank tops.
So I'll be wearing blue.
So I know that the Pride event in New Haven is going to be 3 days. It's Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. When are you going to be in town?
Friday.
So you'll be Friday. Okay.
So the comedy show's Friday. And what I really love about that one too is that I get to headline it, because all the queer queens, I don't headline them. I let the other comics that I find and get and do, I let them headline it, but I get to headline the Pride here. So that's
exciting.
Nice.
So if I'm understanding this correctly, you also play the role of organizer, producing, letting people know, okay, here's your slot. So you get really involved in your craft.
I do the whole kit and caboodle.
And so I went to your website, poppycockprod.com.
Right.
All right. I have something to say, and I hope I don't offend anybody when I say this, but when I first read the name for the website, I'm like, all right, here's a lesbian with serious penis envy. Poppycockprod.com. So I went to the website, and I noticed that, you know, in your bio, too, that you had sent over some information from us, which we have on our website, you're also a singer.
Yeah.
So you sing live during your shows as well.
Yes.
That is fantastic. So you're full of surprises.
I'm just starting to scat now too.
Oh
yes, yes. And the scoobity whoop bop, it kind of scat.
Exactly.
So, just to clarify,
scoobity whoop bop.
Chris, what kind of scat did you think I thought she was talking about?
I said, I got it. Why can't we ever keep things nice?
Yeah, right.
Can I ask a question that's off topic?
Okay.
It's off topic. It's not about queers of comedy, but it's about another comedian.
Okay.
So last week,
oh my God,
on
knew
the show,
we were gonna get there.
I burned Dave Chappelle for his 20-minute transgender set that he did at Radio City Music Hall. What is it now? 2 weeks ago?
Yeah.
I don't know about it.
Do you know what I'm talking about?
No, I didn't hear about it.
Oh, okay. Well, then I guess it's a mute point. But he took the first 20 minutes of his show to kind of address what's going on with the transgender community and the military, but he did it in a way that was like, here, I'll read a quote. If I was an ISIS in the trenches fighting against the United States, and all of a sudden I see a man with a beard and big double cups titties just rushing my foxhole, shit, I'd be horrified. So he took 20 minutes to like make jokes about that situation, and I thought it was in bad taste. And I'm wondering, from your perspective as a comedian, what do you think about that situation? Was I wrong in burning him on our show?
Because I was on the opposite side of Nick for this,
right?
Huh. Well, I think that comedians are allowed a lot of leeway because we have to. We say what we feel, and usually that is a large percentage of the population. But you can see our population is split right now down the middle, almost not down the middle, but probably whatever that other side is. So, you know, you're just seeing where he is, where he lines up on what side he's on, you know?
Well, what I was saying that, there are so many activists or politicians out there that need to fight the good fight, and they fight more politically correct. But when it comes, in my opinion, when it comes to comedians, comedians have that one tool of comedy, and they need to, and they use that tool to just make things visible, get the conversation going. Don't let things fall quiet.
Right.
But and I think that that's a tool that comedians, like you said, they can get away with more. I think that's the important thing, that they can use the comedy to keep light and keep the conversations
right.
going.
And I think you're right in a way, but I also think that there's a way to flip that, bring light to a situation and take digs at the people that are actually oppressing the oppressed community and not then re-oppress that community that's been oppressed.
Well, right.
I don't think he was oppressing anyone, though.
Well, I mean, when it comes to Dave Chappelle, he's always been controversially controversial. But here's my take on things in this sense. It's, we look at the greats. We look at Don Rickles, Richard Pryor. We look at Robin Williams. These comedians were funny as hell, but they always took personal experiences and made them comedy.
Right.
Things that happened to them. Dave Chappelle doesn't know the first thing about a transgender man or a woman. So right. for him to speak to that and right. make it derogatory it just for the sake of comedy, to me, makes no sense. If he were to say, okay, well, you know what? I want to talk about my community. I want to talk about the black community. I want
to
talk about
and
how
that's what
we
he
are.
Used to do. Right. That's
but
what
do
he
you
used
know,
to do.
But do you know for a fact that he doesn't know anything about transgender people?
Evidently, from what he was portraying out there and what
no,
he was saying,
no, well,
he has no clue.
But we don't know that. He could very well have close transgender friends. That's something you don't know. Yeah, no, because it's because I don't think that it's necessary to attack him when we don't know
well,
all the facts.
Well, we're not attacking in a sense. We're just bringing to light the fact
well,
that he used a platform, whether they want to consider that an attack or not. He used a platform where he could have done more good than harm to a community that's going through something really, really, really extensive right now. When you have, you know, the president of the United States putting a ban on transgender men and women from serving in our military,
yeah.
and
by Twitter.
You take that by Twitter.
It's not policy.
His Twitter is his policy, evidently. But when you have someone like that has so much notoriety like he does, and he
yeah.
decides to take that in that direction, given what's going on right now, it's harsh and it's tough. See, I could see if it was a public person. Like
yeah,
Caitlyn Jenner.
It seems like he's usually on the right side of politics. In my mind, he's usually on the right side of politics. If he's like you were saying, if he doesn't know a transgender person and he doesn't really study it up or to study up on or know anything about it, it's going to be hard for him to be on the right side of it.
Mm-hmm. Right. But with that being said, Donald Trump put out these tweets saying that he wants to bar transgender individuals from serving in all aspects of the military. That was almost started to get shadowed away with the stuff going on in North Korea, the constant mess going on in the Middle East. So in my opinion, he's keeping the conversation going by talking
yeah.
about this stuff
yeah,
and bringing
yeah, yeah.
light
so
with humor.
Right. So in that way, he is on the right side.
That's how I feel about the situation.
Right. Right. If he's keeping it going.
I'm just gonna gracefully step down from this.
I know we're on
continue.
Different ends of this, but that's why we got three of us and a fourth tonight. Uh-huh. And a
but
fifth hiding over in a hat.
If I were him, I would have said, if I were a transgender, maybe I could break my dick off and smack somebody with it.
There you go. Like,
exactly.
Here's the jugular.
No, I know. That's what I'm saying. I'm like, I think what's great about comedy is, yeah, of course, comedy takes digs at people and yourself in a lot of ways and random people in the audience sometimes. But there's a way to take a dig at a person or a dig at a demographic and not necessarily make it look as nasty
right.
or.
When you rope an entire community. Or a portion of the entire community, like the transgender community, and say, okay, this is what's going on, and you decide to do jokes on that, to me, that's not appropriate.
And let's be honest, when if Dave Chappelle saw somebody running at him with a double D's, he'd be like, shove it in my face,
yeah.
please.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
Can I motorboat it? Hello.
If he would have taken that same conversation and made it about Caitlyn Jenner, I would have been okay, because guess what? By Caitlyn Jenner being out and being
right.
a public person and wanting
right.
to shove everything that she does in our face, it is fair game for comedians to go
that's,
and do something
right.
like that. But when you have transgender military folks who don't want to be the butt of anyone's joke because
yeah.
their life is serious.
Right.
That comedian should not address that in that way. He could have gone after somebody like Caitlyn Jenner.
You should have done that, probably.
Yeah, but you can't put boundaries on comedy. The second you say something is, oh, that's off topic,
it's not,
that's
what, off, I'm, off, it's off, not what I'm off saying.
Limits,
I'm
then
just
anything
saying
can
is,
be off limits at that point.
Especially for Dave. Especially for
exactly.
Dave.
Yeah. You can't cut stuff off when it comes to comedy.
You're right. And we're not saying that he should or he did. He clearly didn't. He still sold out the Radio City Music Hall. Like, it's done. It's
Which
over
he does.
With. And I think all we're doing is talking about...
This is what we do best.
Yes, this is what we do best. We just talk about people making choices in their life. Anyway,
let's just hope that we as a community and Dave Chappelle as an artist grows from the experience. Mm-hmm. So, Poppy, darling,
reclaim your time.
We're gonna reclaim
Please
her
reclaim
time.
Reclaim your time, Poppy.
We're gonna reclaim your time. So do you do the Queer Queens of Comedy? Do you do anything else aside from that production?
Well, like I said, I just got back from P-Town, so that was not a Queer Queens thing. That was just me at Sage. I work for Olivia Cruises as well, and I just booked a cruise to go to Italy in October, so I'll be working that. So, yeah, I do a lot of things.
So let me ask you, so when you get booked on a cruise, how does that work? So you get booked, they put you up, and you get to go all over the world, and...
Yeah, well, this one, we're going to fly into Rome, and then we get on the ship in Rome, and then we cruise down the Amalfi Coast, and we stop in at little cities along the way, and then we're going to go over to the Isle of Capri, then we're going to go all the way back over to Barcelona.
Didn't you say you were looking for an intern? Because I could free my schedule up.
Yeah, well, you'll have three honorary interns like right away.
I would love it.
I may be a big boy, but I fold easily and go right into a suitcase, and you can just drag me on board. I'll be okay with it.
Those gigs are great to get. But I'm going to have to miss Women's Week in P-Town for the first time in 16 years to do it. But I think it was a good choice.
You'll be there in spirit.
It's an experience, yeah. And I think they'll be okay with that.
Yeah.
I think so, too.
So, Poppy, if our listeners wanted to get a hold of you, whether that's on social media or any type of means of communications that you may have set up for them to do so, how can they do that?
Well, you got the Queer Queens of Comedy, and that is the website, Queer Queens of Comedy, but you spell comedy with a Q-O-M-E-D-Y. And then there's poppychamplin.com, there's poppycockproductions.com, and there's pophaha1@gmail.com.
All right. Awesome.
And you're also on Facebook. I know that.
Oh, yeah. Facebook, Poppy Champlin.
Once we publish the episode tonight, all of those links for your Facebook, both personally for you and for the Queer Queens of Comedy, will be on our post as well. So our listeners can click on the link and get all the information.
Oh, that's
and,
great.
Again, I know that you're going to be performing on the 20th of this month over at the Funny Bone in the Hartford Funny Bone, which is located in Manchester. I made the mistake of saying Hartford at some point.
But why do they call it the Hartford Funny Bone if it's in Manchester?
Oh, isn't that shit in the isn't that in the Buckland Mall?
Yes.
Yeah, that's at the fucking Buckland Mall.
It says 194 Buckland Hills Drive in Manchester.
Yeah, in Manchester.
It's a nice club. All the Funny Bones are nice clubs. Like, I can work all of them all over the country, but I don't have an intern to help me book it all.
Well, you just said you got three.
Trish.
Yeah, I'm a beast when it comes
intern,
to that stuff.
Email me at
There it is.
So, listen, darling, it has been an absolute pleasure having you on, and thank you for taking time out of your day to talk with the boys at Gay Talk.
I really appreciate this. This was really fun.
It was fun.
And, as we say to all of our guests, because we truly, truly have a good time when we do this, you have an open invitation to come back. If you're in the area and you need to talk to us and let us know what's going on, please do so.
That'd be great. Yep. Because I do Hartford probably twice a year, if not three.
Okay.
And, of course, being that you're going to be in New Haven Pride, we might be able to actually meet up and have a personal conversation that we may at some point publish and produce as well.
Oh, yeah. We'll be there.
That'd be great.
Yeah. We'll be there on Saturday, but I would make it a point to come out and meet her and get some pictures and say hello.
I'll be there on Friday night.
Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah. And I think I'm sleeping over. So if you're there in the morning, the next Saturday morning, somewhere I can find you.
Oh, okay. Perfect. You can help me with my hangover.
I cannot help you with that.
Nicholas?
No, that's it. I'm good. It was so lovely talking to you.
Lovely talking with you guys. I'm going to look up that Dave Chappelle. Is there something I can watch?
I don't know if there, I'm sure there is a video out there, but I found an article on it.
Okay.
I can email you the link.
I got bumped for Dave Chappelle once. Well, not bumped. He lives down in Dayton. And when I was working down at Dayton, he used to come into that club, and I did a set down there once for like 2 hours, and then he came in and did another three behind me. It was crazy.
I mean, you know, there's no questioning that, again, you know, he's, I don't want to knock on a freaking dead nail, but he's a great comedian. He's just, like most comedians, sometimes they touch touchy subjects that piss somebody off.
Yeah,
I think
you gotta piss somebody off.
Yeah,
you're not doing anything. If you're not pissing someone off, you're not doing it right.
Exactly.
Right.
Well, I think we're doing it right, boys. So anyway, Poppy, thank you so much for joining us on Gay Talk. It has been our absolute pleasure.
Chris.
I'm Chris. What,
Chris.
Oh, Chris. Okay.
Oh, yeah. I didn't introduce myself. Sorry.
And I'm Tom, and that's Nick, Trish over here, and then Chris. And then this is our unidentified guest.
Oh, yeah. Who's that? We can't say, right?
No, we call him Dimps. Dimps for dimples.
Oh, Dimps.
Well, right. Cocky darling, thank you so much, and good luck on the 20th. And who knows, we might be in the audience.
Okay,
we'll let you know.
I hope you are.
All
otherwise,
right. Be there.
See you on the 15th.
All right, bye,
bye.
Thank you. What a wonderful person.
First thing I want to say is at one point, and I'm proud of myself for holding my tongue because I'm not very good with that. Someone walked behind her, and I wanted so badly to yell, "Poppy, there's someone behind you!"
How did I not see that?
I saw there was some dude walking behind her, and I just wanted to scream that.
Was he cute?
I don't know. It looked like a shadow.
Oh.
Oh.
That's awkward.
Okay.
Yeah. I hope she's
haunted.
Okay. I think we should text her and make sure that she's okay at some point. There was a shadow behind
her. I hope you know there's a man in your house.
She's really great. I really like her. I like her energy.
She was really fun.
Yeah, I'm super excited to meet her.
Yeah, it'll be fun. So she's going to be in the New Haven at the New Haven Pride Celebration, which is coming up in September. Wow, we've got so much coming up, boys.
Super busy.
You know what's actually really cool, too? So I had a meeting with Patrick Dunn. Me and the community engagement manager at Long Wharf Theater had a meeting with Patrick Dunn, and we decided that we are going to do not just one, but a series of Pride events at the theater. So basically what's going to happen is, I don't know the date off the top of my head for the first one, but we're going to have the third Thursday of every show, we're going to do a discounted ticket for the LGBT community. And if you're a member of the Pride Center, you get 10% off all year, no matter what. No matter what show you want to see. But what we're going to have, so the first one, we're going to have a cocktail reception with food generously brought to you by Steve Salato's Deli.
I was going to say unicornbooty.com.
I was saying the same thing.
Well, no, unicornbooty.com.
Really.
The
if you
freshest
want to sponsor it,
unicorn steaks you can get your hands on.
But it's gonna be the Thursday before Pride actually happens. So it's going to be like the first event for Pride.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yep. And it'll be at the theater. We've done this before. And then every Thursday, every third Thursday following for the shows, you get 20% off for the Pride events.
So let me get this straight. So you do the reception, and then people go and watch show.
Yes, exactly.
Do we know what the show is going to be? Or
well, the first show is called Small Mouth Sounds.
Ooh.
It is a play about most of it's actually silent. It's really cool. It's a tour originating at Long Wharf Theater, and it will it kind of talks about, like, once you hit a certain point in your life, like 30, example, refinding who you are with the baggage that you've come to create.
You could do that with a bottle of vodka.
I was just about to fucking say that, Tom, but I was going to say gallon.
but we have a great season planned, and I hope that these events work out. Obviously, New Haven Pride Center is working with us, so it's we're doing it together. So
that's going to be awesome.
I'm totally excited about it.
Really, congratulations, Patrick.
Yeah, awesome.
He's doing an amazing job. Mm-hmm. I think he's going to do good things.
I'm holding up the applesauce sign now.
Applesauce, yes.
That means clap. Oh. I mean, the live event was only a week ago. I mean, yeah, I guess.
But, you know, claps for Patrick.
Yes, Patrick, yes! We love him.
Okay, there we go.
And so, Bobby, and our listener Bobby, for giving us the applesauce idea.
Bobby's amazing. I love her.
Yes, she's great.
She's great. I want to have a conversation with Bobby.
That'd be good.
You know, because Bobby, a lot of people don't realize she is a transgender woman. She's part of the transgender community. She was a Donald Trump voter. Yet she comes to our shows and she sits there and she really takes in what it is that we say.
She's
and
a good sport.
Well, she had a lot of very verbal things to say about Donald Trump when Donald Trump announced the ban on service members, on transgender service members.
Sure,
very,
she did.
Very vocal. And so it'd be interesting to have her perspective as to where she is now today.
Yeah, no, I would love to have that. I mean, earlier today I was watching something about a Trump voter, and he was doing some interview saying, I guess I was just naive in voting for this man. Like, you know, business should not be in the White House. And he just was going on and on about it. And it's really interesting to see the perspective flip. You know what I mean? And I think that's going to happen with a lot of people. I mean, it's already been happening.
I really want to know what drove them first.
I'm still scared to shit because I remember sitting around this table and saying, it'll never happen, it'll never happen, it'll never happen. And in 4 years, if this man gets reelected, I'm going to be fucking flabbergasted. Like, I can't put my eggs in any basket at this point. Like, I just don't, I can't.
Do you have any left after this weekend?
No, but I'll get them back.
All right, boys. So we've got other stories to cover, and then we should start wrapping the show up. So Christopher got, Nick, your story.
Oh, it's my turn?
Your turn.
Yes.
Oh, but this is a negative story.
Well, then we'll follow it up with happy stories after.
All right, sounds good. All right, so...
we'll spit rainbows at it.
So, a U.S. preacher...
Where's my sign? I want the sign.
He can put his glasses on and see the rainbows, too, if we start spitting them.
Can I talk now?
Yes, go.
Okay. So, a U.S. preacher calls for LGBT-friendly schools to be burned to the ground. How interesting.
Where's the sign?
That's right. Fuck her!
Can we talk about the fact that, before I even get into the story, like, how can a preacher who is supposed to be for all people and like, religion and love and caring...
Only for his people.
It's fucking ridiculous. Anyway, so this man, preacher Kevin Swanson, this was brought to you by Nick Duffy of PinkNews.com.
Hey, Nick.
Has a radio show called The Right Wing Watch. I suggest that everybody not listen.
Well, at least our listeners.
But he was having a conversation. He was ranting about the new health and physical education standards for schools in the Washington state, which suggested that pupils should learn about HIV prevention, which they should, because it's not just in the homosexual population. It's also in the heterosexual population. They should also learn about sexual orientation, gender identity as a part of their sex ed lessons. Now, I think that in doing this, in that policy actually coming to play, it would teach kids to like realize that people are just people and you can't judge somebody because of their sexual orientation or gender identity. It's just part of who they are. And I think that would help with negativity toward homosexuality. But anyway, so speaking on his radio show, he equated homosexuality to rape before agreeing with a suggestion that the school should be burnt down. So he said, I'm going to suggest that there is a connection between sexualized schools, sexualized governors, and sexualized state agencies. Sexualized public schools that violate God's law with high levels of flagrancy and governors that violate God's law with high levels of flagrancy. Today's entire states are defined by homosexuality, adultery, rape, and educating kids in sexual confusion of the day as early as kindergarten. And then his co-host goes on to say those schools need to be burned down. And then he agrees with his co-host, and his co-host was Bill Jack. So, this being said, a fucking pastor is suggesting that we burn down schools that have the audacity to teach kids a positive view and the health safety benefits of being smart about everything that's going on in the world.
He just pissed off Jesus Christ. Jesus ain't happy with this man.
No, but I'm reading your story, and there's a note here, and I'm not sure if you read this or not, but this person, Jack, added the following. They would burn them down, they would tear the bricks out of the walls, and they would use those bricks to stone the apostles.
Apostates?
Whatever.
Okay. But
what the fuck?
Okay, first of all, this is why I'm very secular when it comes to religion, because this kind of shit.
And we're the crazy people.
And we're the crazy people.
It's everything against that Jesus, what Jesus Christ was preaching. It's everything against it.
They also brought up, he said, get the kids out of the whorehouses.
Right.
You know, if you transported parents from the 1950s into 2017, they would burn these schools down. No. Because it's 2017 and people are fucking woke and people realize that people deserve human dignity and human rights. So go fuck yourself for even suggesting that we should revert in any way back to 1950s, where not only were African Americans oppressed, women were oppressed, homosexuality could have been arrested or killed.
Mm-hmm.
Go fuck yourself. I'm a human being, a human living in this world, and I will continue to live and be loud in this world. And people like you should be shut the fuck up.
And if
you're preaching hate, not love, you're not a pastor, you're a devil.
Exactly. And if he ever has the opportunity to meet his almighty God, he's going to have a lot to fucking answer to.
Mm-hmm.
Well.
A holla.
No, it's disturbing. It's disturbing to read this, because you know what? What does this teach our children growing up in today's world, and where they're exposed to our way of life, which to me is a very healthy thing. I'm a very beautiful person. I love a lot of people. I'm a very caring person. I give a lot to my community, and I invest a lot of time with friends.
Don't cross
straight,
it, though.
Gay, but don't cross me, because I will freaking slit your throat.
But what,
in a nice way.
I think what's most important, like, imagine.
Like, if, I'm going to do after
imagine
the show.
If you were sitting. We all took sex ed. Did you take sex ed, Tom? I know you're a little older.
No.
Okay, so I took sex ed. Did you?
I took it in the
bedroom. We didn't have it.
Okay, so my school had sex ed. And if I was sitting in a room, I'll never forget it, because the sex ed teacher at one point said, one out of every 10 men or women in this room or in this school are gay. And I remember looking around that room and everybody being like, it's not me. And I was like, it's not me. And I'm like, yeah, it is. But anyway, like,
guilty.
But imagine being in a room, you know, at 16, which is, I think, 15, 16, probably the right age to start learning about sex ed, maybe a year younger than that.
Well, I think that's a healthy age.
But imagine being in that room, and now that we know so much about HIV and AIDS, and so much about gender identity and homosexuality, and can actually educationally speak to it, how would that make all of these kids around America feel to know that they're, even if they're not out of the closet, they're being acknowledged, and they're giving a space to learn about how to be safe and how to be healthy?
You know, and props to those schools that are establishing a lot of these LGBT groups within the schools to allow these people to have a place to go and talk about, you know, their problems and what they're feeling and what they're going through. Because, you know, we've said it before, visibility is very important within our community to ensure our youth that they have a place to exist when they decide and they're willing and they're able and finally ready to come out.
Yeah.
And, you know, the seriousness behind the whole situation, and where our youth and the LGBT community have the highest rates of suicide because of the fact that this type of rhetoric goes around saying that they are less, that they're not people, that they shouldn't exist, that they need to be eliminated or blown up. It's just uncalled for. It should not happen.
Yeah. It creates an environment where kids want to disappear, stay in the closet, commit suicide.
Unfreaking believable.
So on that note, Kevin Swanson, can I get a fucker?
Fuck her!
Mr. Kevin Swanson.
That felt good.
Goodbye.
Bye, Felicia.
Toodles. All right, so I think we have room for one more story before we close it out. Chris, do you want to take it or should I take it? I actually have a very, very funny story.
All right, and I have one that kind of goes with what he was saying.
All right, so let's do that one first, okay. And then I'll jump into mine, okay. And then we'll do
I'll save the other one
identity.
For next week. I'll save the other one for next
all right,
week.
So go.
So it's a hopeful story. You know, gay high school students have... Excuse me, I'm going to start. I'm not going to read the headline. So two openly gay students had their pro-LGBT quotes about coming out removed from the school yearbook. Joey Slavinsky and Thomas Schwartz, pupils at Kearney High School in Missouri, had left inspirational, positive comments underneath their yearbook photographs, only to find that they had been deleted in case other students found them offensive. Mr. Slavinsky had written, quote, "Of course I dress well. I didn't spend all that time in the closet for nothing." And his
yes.
And Mr. Schwartz had added under his picture, quote, "If Harry Potter taught us anything, it's that no one should have to live in the closet." So that is true. Yes, that one too. Exactly.
So Slavinsky spoke with the local Kansas news outlet, KCTV5, stating that he went to look at, for his quote in the yearbook, but the space was left blank.
Horrible.
Exactly. So the people reached out. The school's principal of Dave Schwarzenbach and the school's and the district superintendent of schools, Bill Nicely, issued a statement apologizing for removing the comments. They said, quote, "In an effort to protect our students, quotes that could potentially offend other students or groups of students are not published. It is the school's practice to err on the side of caution." And they continued to say, "Doing so in this case had the unintentional consequence of offending the very students the practice was designed to protect. We sincerely apologize to these students."
Go fuck yourself. You can sincerely apologize, but these kids did not put anything offensive in here at all. What they did was just clearly make a statement. I've seen way more offensive senior quotes than, "Oh, of course I dress well. I didn't spend all this time in the closet for nothing."
You know what you need to do as an institution in a school, Mr. Slavinsky? Is that what it is?
No. Slavinsky was one of the students.
The students.
The principal was Schwarzenbach. And the superintendent, Nicely.
Here's what you need to do,
Mr. Nicely.
You need to take one of those little stupid printers that you have in your school with all these little, like, what do you call those labels? Yeah, with little labels, and you need to print their comments, and you need to mail that to every goddamn fucking student, have them stick it in that goddamn fucking yearbook, because that is just uncalled for, and you don't do that.
Well, that's what I have to finish up with. Now, the reason I'm bringing this up is because the students are planning on making stickers of their quotes and putting them in their yearbooks. So they had a story to tell.
I didn't even read that, and I was just...
That's what they're doing. They had a story to tell. A story of coming out. No one can take that away from them.
Absolutely.
And we want to help make sure their voices are heard. That is the platform of Gay Talk 2.0.
Can we
want to share their story.
Can I say that if they are making these stickers, can you send Gay Talk 2.0 some stickers? Because I would love to have stickers of these quotes in the studio.
Matter of fact, I think we're going to actually take those quotes and we're going to put them on our website.
Yeah.
There we go. That'd be good.
We're going to put them as a nice little sidebar on our website so that people can always read them.
Because we want to share their story, and we commend the bravery of you two. Coming out, accepting yourself. You're in Missouri. I know it must be scary at sometimes, but you are so strong to go out and say, "This is me. This is who I am." Mm-hmm. And to have these people kind of go at you like that, don't let them get in your way. We're on your side. You have plenty of people on your side.
It's 2017. What you did was stand up and speak your truth. Keep speaking your truth. Don't let anybody fucking silence you.
We're proud of
you.
Them.
Applesauce.
How dare you get silenced? So fuck your principal, and I'm proud of you boys.
Yes, good job, guys.
Yeah, good job. I think that was amazing. And yeah, those stickers are going to be great. All right, so
go for it, Tom.
One more story so that we can get into gender identity definitions and our gay talk term. For our last story of today, it has been reported, I'm trying to find it. Okay, here you go. Attitude Magazine published a story last week claiming that being single will kill you faster than being morbidly obese. I should be dead by now. Seriously.
Ooh.
I have them both. I'm overweight. I admit it. But apparently being single is worse than being morbidly obese. So, all right, let me keep going. According to the article, a new study claims that being alone is deadlier than being obese. We said that already. While being obese will increase your chances of an earlier death by 30%, being alone will raise that risk a whopping 50%. Which to me, I was like, whoa.
That's like 80%.
I'm going to be gone tomorrow, girls.
Girl, you got your babies. You're fine.
But at least you made it to Gay Talk's new episode.
Right.
You made it to episode 76.
And I made it to 30, so.
Exactly.
And that's right. I have. And
what the fuck's coming my way?
I made it to something like that. All right. No, so anyway.
I know. She goes to me, "Welcome to the 30s, girl." I'm like, "Honey, you're not in the 30s.
So Dr. Julian Holt Lundstedt, lead author and professor of psychology at Brigham Young University, said being connected to others socially is widely considered a fundamental human need, crucial to both well-being and survival. Another quote, "Extreme examples show infants in custodial care who lack human contact fail to thrive and often die. And indeed, social isolation or solitary confinement has been often used as punishment. So we know that this happens. You know, when someone misbehaves in a jail or whatever, they put them in solitary confinement.
Right.
Yet, an increasing portion of the U.S. population now experiences isolation regularly. So that's alarming, but I'm fine, people. I'm really fine. You don't understand that when I come home and I don't have to say, honey, I'm home, or say...
Except for his dogs.
Can I go shower? Or are you going to use the bathroom? Or can you move to your side of the bed? Or what do we want to have for dinner? I eat whatever the fuck I want. I'm good. Trust me when I tell you.
Some people aren't meant to be in relationships. No, however, I do feel you'll eventually find somebody.
No, I feel I will.
Yeah.
No, I'm kidding.
The elusive guest and he's talking Tom to a just hat. Touched each other.
Yeah,
so.
I am. No. So anyway, so I just wanted to throw that out there. Just be very careful. Make sure that you socialize, and that's why I love my friends. These are my people. I'm not alone. Are you kidding me? I'm alone when I'm in my house, but that's on purpose.
Hello.
So anyway, so what is? Let's jump into our gender identity terms and our gay talk term.
Yeah,
and which one
them.
Did you want to kick off first?
I always kick off with the gender identity definition.
Okay, well, let's do that one.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, this week, unicornbeauty.com sponsors your gender identity definition, which is transgender.
Not true.
It is very true. So, unicornbeauty.com sponsors.
Cursive. Sidecars.
So, transgender is an umbrella term for people whose gender identity and or expression is different from cultural and social expectations based on the sex they were assigned at birth. That is transgender, ladies and gentlemen. And your gay talk term
I'm
of the
scared.
Week, also brought to you by unicornbooty.com, is 30, 40, dead.
Because wait, that's you. This
because
whole
I just turned 30. So 30, 40, dead is a remark showing how some homosexuals view their longevity. That's it.
30, 40, dead.
30, 40, dead. I'm basically dead.
Well, you're in between.
Thank God I have a date tomorrow, because otherwise...
She on her deathbed.
Mm-hmm.
I think she hit 40. She hit the 40.
So those are your gender identity and gay talk terms this week. Brought to you, of course, by
UnicornBooty.com.
I was with it for that.
Not one. Really, but... Oh, no, I have to be very careful, because, you know, they have an affiliate. I don't know. Anyway.
Well, so, they've been on the show.
All right. I think we should move into our announcements. All right. So if you love the show, head on over to your Apple.
More cursive. Yay, cursive. Sidecars.
Right, let's try that again. If you love the show, head on over to your Apple podcast or your favorite podcast app on Android and make sure to rate and review the show. This allows for our podcast to become more visible within the podcasting community and let others know about the show and why they should listen. Another quick update, I went to Club Trevi and saw a show called Xanadu, which if you're gay, you should know what it is. It's amazing. Anyway, their production was amazing. I got a chance to see it, and they're going to actually be doing another run of the show August 25th through the 27th, so I'm assuming that's Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Tickets are $15 online, $20 at the door, and for tickets, you can go to www.longview-theatricals.com and get all the information for that. Christopher?
Yeah, make sure it's dash theatricals, because longview.com is like a camper website. I know that. There was one in Windsor Locks, my hometown.
Yes.
All right, so next week we welcome Patrick Riley, who plays the lead character Danny and Danny the Manny, a web-based series of short episodes that follows a young gay man who's a babysitter that discovers the young child he's charged for caring for loves to cross-dress. Be sure to tune in. I'm sure this will be a hilarious show.
I pee my pants watching that damn thing. It's
and
hysterical.
Also, for our listeners, if you haven't watched it, you should. Just go watch it before we do the interview next week. It is an hilarious miniseries. It's great. It's so much fun.
I think so.
And so, my turn. Thank you to our guest, Poppy Champlin, for joining us today on the show. You can catch her on stage at the Hartford Funny Bone this Sunday, August 20th in Hartford, Connecticut.
Manchester.
It's in Manchester.
I told you I wrote it wrong.
Oh,
in
the Buckland Mall.
Manchester Funny Bone in the Buckland Mall this Sunday, August 20th in Hartford, Connecticut. For more information
it's in Manchester, damn it.
Shut up. Did I say Hartford again?
Yes.
Okay. For more information on the tour, visit poppycock.com. P P-R-O-D for productions. So poppycockprod.com.
Talk about a lesbian with penis envy. I said that before. I was like, oh, Lord have mercy. All right, Chris.
Shall we put a rubber on this fucking episode?
Let's cover it up, baby.
All righty, guys. As always, our show is available on our website, gaytalk20.com, under show and episodes. It is also available as a free download on iTunes, Google Play Music, and Stitcher Radio.
Nick announces, you can find us on social media, Facebook, Gay Talk 2.0, Instagram, Gay Talk 2.0, Twitter, at Gay Talk 20. You can also email us at gaytalk2.0@gmail.com. Tom, take it away.
All right. If you need to reach out to us, you can just head on over to our website and click on the Contact Us tab at the top of your web browser. You can leave comments. You can suggest topics. Back to my word. Submit a question for the cast or submit a question for an interview. Individual host. You can also call us and leave us a question via voicemail. We can answer that for you on the show. The phone number is 334-GAY-TALK. If you need all the digits, that's 334-429-8255. Please do not forget that we stream our show live every Monday at 6:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. You can access that live stream by visiting digitalstreamradio.com. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you. That is our show, and y'all have a good night.
Bye! Bye.
Vagina boob.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Gay Talk 2.0. Tune in next time for more dish.